This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Good evening, listeners. It's so lovely to be with you again. This month, our topic is Christ-centered recovery and restoration. And we're talking to you who are struggling with some kinds of hurts, hang-ups, and habits, like all of us. That definitely includes all of us, because that's part of the sinful behavior that we struggle with.
I put up my hand.
Yeah, me too. For some, it's addictions to a substance like alcohol, cigarettes, drugs, prescription drugs, over-the-counter drugs. For others, it could be a process addiction, like addiction to gambling, porn, sex, or even more socially acceptable things like surfing the internet, TV, sports, or other things. Addiction is a family disease, regardless of what kind of addiction it is.
Yeah, it really affects the whole family. So it's not an isolated thing just of one individual in the family. Whether that person is staying with the family or not, but it is really includes the whole family that is experiencing some form of hurt or hang up or dysfunction because of the addiction. And therefore, we also talk to family and friends of those that are caught up in addiction. And, you know, any kind of habit that we want to stop. Like overeating, for example, is we just want to get overeating. We feel that I'm overweight and this is my situation and I want to eat less. And there are certain things that we can do as a family to overcome that hurt or hang up or a habit.
And then also, sometimes the family members and friends of someone who's struggling with an addiction get so preoccupied with the person with the addict that they almost get addicted to trying to help or fix that addict. And that's my story, right?
Yeah. And for listeners who perhaps have not heard one of our previous programs, we talk about co-addiction. Codependency is where somebody is so focused on somebody else's problem that they are not able to see and focus on their own struggles.
And it feels right, eh? It feels even righteous.
Very biblical sometimes.
Yeah, because I remember like when you were still struggling many years ago with your addiction, I thought, because I'm your helpmate. And the Lord says, you know, if you think about Corinthians, it says love covers everything. It hopes. What is Corinthians that says it covers all a multitude of sins. And it hopes. What's the other one? There's a third one to it now. I can't remember now.
I can't call it to mind immediately.
Yeah, but anyway, so that I really thought it was my job. To pray for you and to help you not to do the things that you try to do. And I got so busy with that I'd forgotten about me and my life. And so I often talk on this program from the point of view of friends and family members of addicts. And Frederick?
I speak once again, or not once again, but I speak from the viewpoint of the addict. You know, the addict and the partner or the friend of the addict experience it from very, very different perspectives and very different experiences. And, you know, one of the things that I really try to overcome my addiction as a believer, as a Christian, was to pray more and to do more quiet times. And really ask the Lord to take away this addiction. But very strangely, even in that, it was not a Christ-centered approach that I had, because my relationship with Jesus was so affected by my addiction that I couldn't really connect with Him. I could not experience intimacy with Him, with my family, with my friends, and with my wife, with myself. I couldn't connect intimately Because they also say that the sex addiction is an intimacy disorder. We're unable to connect intimately with another human being.
And then all addictions, in a situation where there's an addiction, the person who struggles with the addiction's greatest relationship is with the addiction.
Yeah.
So that person favors, whether it's alcohol, whether it's drugs, irregardless of what it is, the person is the greatest obsession is to connect with that, with that substance in order to escape.
Or behavior.
Right. Mm. To feel better or to cope with life. And that is the main thing of that, hey? And then maybe, listeners, you would think, but this is a Christian program and we are Christians. And what are you talking about? How could you even mention anything like this on the air? But we are sinful people, and the Bible says often that sin is crouching at your door, and unfortunately, we open that door. We get into the habit, and often because of childhood things, and we cannot stop doing that thing, and that reminds me of that scriptures from Romans, and today we're going to go a little bit into that. In Romans 7, that says, "For I do not understand my own actions." I'm reading from the Amplified. "I'm baffled and I'm bewildered by them." And I'm sure you can identify with that,
yes,
Frederick, when you kept on doing what you didn't want to do. I must say, I was also bewildered because you kept on saying you're going to stop, and then you didn't stop, and you said you're never going to do it again, right? Okay, and continue from the Bible. "I do not practice what I want to do, but I'm doing the very thing I hate and yielding to my human nature, my worldliness, my sinful capacity. Now, if I habitually do what I do not want to do, that means I agree with the law, confessing that it's good, morally excellent. So now, if that's the case, then it's no longer I who do it, the disobedient thing which I despise, but the sin nature which lives in me." What do you want to say about that, Frederick?
Sure, yeah, I can so totally identify with that, Suki. And, you know, if I think of the beginning stages of my restoration journey, is how often I expressed my grief and my regret and remorse about what I was doing, about watching porn on the internet.
And almost disgust sometimes.
Yeah,
that how could you do it?
I
remember.
I was disgusted, and I just felt I couldn't get over this thing. I couldn't just stop. And even though I said many, many times, "This is the last time. I'm not going to do it again." But I do it again. You know, one of the pastors that we were under his leadership was saying that we're actually all addicted to sin because we want to stop doing that sin, but we do it over and over and over again, expecting our serenity or sanity to be returned or to be fulfilled, but it doesn't work.
And it affects our relationship with Jesus.
Absolutely.
It affects my relationship with those closest to me, with especially friends of family of addicts.
Yes.
It's hard. It breaks relationships and it breaks intimacy. Yeah, so I'm going to continue reading from the scripture because I wanted to get to the good part. But before we get to the good part, we need to wrestle through this difficult part. Verse 18 says, "For I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my flesh, my human nature, my worldliness, and my sinful capacity. For the willingness to do good is present in me, but doing of good is not." 19 says, "For the good that I want to do, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want." I think this is the verse that we quoted the most in this program. And then it continues to say, "Wretched and a miserable man that I am, who will rescue me and set me free from this body of death, this corrupt mortal existence?" And now this is where the good news comes in at last. Frederick, you want to tell us something about
this? We always say in our program, Suki, that it doesn't end there.
Oh, that's hallelujah.
That's not the end of the story.
Mm.
And that is not where we get stuck. in our journey of recovery and restoration, because there's a next step. There is hope. I can talk about years, it's almost 5 years of sobriety. And so there is hope, there is a way out of whatever you are struggling with, whatever issue you have. And there's a verse, 25, that says, "Thanks be to God for my deliverance." Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And there's an exclamation mark after that. And it's really something to shout for joy with.
And that's why we say Christ-centered recovery.
Yes.
It's the only way. I know so often in this program, sometimes we talk about psychological theories, but at the end, it's all about Jesus.
Yes.
If we don't come to the end of ourselves and to a place where we see we cannot help ourselves, we know that it's only Jesus that can save us. Because, I want to say that again, thanks be to God for my deliverance through
Jesus Christ our Lord.
Yes, amen. So then, on the one hand, I myself, with my mind, serve the law of God. But on the other hand, with my flesh, my human nature, my worldliness, my sinful capacity, I serve the law of sin.
Yes, but like you said, fortunately, there's also a chapter 8. And I love it, Suki, that we don't have to get stuck in our hurt hang-ups and habits. We can move away from them. And that hope is in Christ. But, Suki, let's just take a break before we continue with the fortunate part of restoration and recovery. Thank you, listeners, for staying with us and coming back. And, yeah, we have this privilege of saying that the story does not end with our hurts, hang-ups, and struggles, but there is hope.
Amen. And for those who just tuned in, our topic for this whole month of March is on Christ-centered recovery and restoration. And we just started with Romans 7, and now we add Romans 8. That gives us the good news about the sin that we struggle with that says, therefore, there is now no condemnation. Isn't that beautiful, Freddie?
No guilty verdict,
no punishment for those who are in Jesus Christ, who believe in Him as personal Lord and Savior.
Yeah, Suki, but you know, that does take an action from us, an action of faith, and to believe that Jesus is my Savior, that He is my Lord. And that brings me a little bit to the step three in the step program, and that is to surrender my life and my will to the care of God, and that He would, believing that He will restore me to sanity. That's the second step, and once we're in that relationship, then we can move on to a recovery journey and a restoration journey.
And there is a solution for those who are living according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh, which gratify the body. But those who are living according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit, His will and His purpose. And that's exactly where you mentioned step three, Frederick, that says, I lay down my will and my life to God. Because if I don't do that and I don't surrender myself, I cannot align with His will and His plan and His purpose for my life. Verse 6 in chapter 8 of the beautiful chapter 8 in Romans says, now the mind of the flesh is death, both now and forever, because it pursues sin. But the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. The spiritual well-being that comes from walking with God, both now and forever.
Yes, but you know, Suki, there's a big amen to this. But how? You know, I want us to become a little bit practical. How do we get this healing and wholeness and a change of mind and a change of direction.
Frederick, you know, I went to go and look because we often talk about the word recovery. It's not actually a word Christians use, right? But actually, I think we call it more holiness, or we call it
sanctification,
you know, growing in Jesus, growing away from our sin. That's what we traditionally call that. But I looked at the word recovery, and I really love it, because see how it links in with what we just said about holiness and sanctification. The dictionary explains it as a return to a normal state of health, mind, or strength, or the action or process of regaining possession or control of something stolen or lost. Does that not sound like what happened to Adam and Eve in the garden?
Yes, they got lost. And it's a pity that they didn't have a Christ-centered program and recovery and restoration program to follow.
And they wouldn't be able because of Jesus, because Jesus hasn't died yet, right? And it's because of Jesus that we have that victory,
yes,
not in ourselves and just following a program.
And I think that is something that we really need to stress, Suki, is that the ultimate recovery and restoration comes through Jesus. There are many support groups that are not necessarily Christ-focused, and there are many people that obtain sobriety and freedom from their addictions and habits. But the real deep, deep, deep healing, the root of our struggles and our issues are dealt with in Christ Jesus. And that is why we are talking about Christ-centered recovery this month. And Christ-centered recovery, that we can recover what was stolen from us. And I think the greatest thing that was stolen from us is intimacy. Intimacy with God, intimacy with others, from out of a point of intimacy with ourselves. And if we do not journey and we do not deal with the past and look at what we are experiencing today, we cannot move into intimacy.
So why do you say that?
You know, Suki, we really need, we all have hurts. I've been hurt very and sometimes badly abused as a young boy. And we have hang-ups, things that we continually do, and we don't want to continue doing them. We want to stop, and habits, and in my case, addictions, and I think in many even believers of addictions. And we cannot stop these unless we are in a program that helps us in the journey of getting over these things.
And part of that journey is to turn to God to restore us from, they say in the step groups, they say sanity. And then you think, no, I'm not insane. But, you know, if we keep on doing the same thing and we experience a different, we expect a different result, there's a little bit of insanity when it comes to that, right?
Yeah, no, there definitely is. And so I think what we like to speak about in the Christian recovery is serenity. And even in the 12-step program, they talk about, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. And, you know, any type of hurt, hang-up, or habit, or addiction is what steals our serenity. And we need to move into a place where we can find healing and wholeness and restoration of our serenity.
Yeah. But, you know, the Bible talks a lot about peace. God gives peace. And if we look at the Hebrew word, or maybe the Greek word for peace, is shalom.
Yes.
And that shalom is restored in your well-being. It's so much more than just the word peace. So I think the word serenity could be summarized actually by peace and shalom, what the Bible calls a shalom.
Yeah, and, you know, that is something that we can strive to, that we can work to, by surrendering to a program and surrendering our lives and our wills to God and through Jesus Christ.
And in community, right?
Yes.
We cannot do this on our own. So listeners, if you're listening now and you're struggling with an addiction and you say, yes, yes, that's what I will do. Frederick, I remember how many years you struggled and I struggled with my co-addiction alone, on our own, and there was no results.
Yeah.
We had to get to a group of people in a Christ-centered kind of recovery, in a group that was helping us, because healing happens in community.
Yes, yes. And, you know, there are churches, Suki, that offer this type of healing and these programs. And one of them is Celebrate Recovery.
And several others, right?
Yeah,
you need to look
others.
For this and at a church that offers something like this.
And, you know, sometimes there are even just home groups where people can share freely, openly, vulnerably, without judgment and condemnation or looking down upon or gossip that comes from that group.
Because the moment when that comes, there's no restoration.
To create a safe space. So that is what we really need. And so we're going to continue speaking this month with regards to Christ-centered recovery and restoration.
And it's so important, Frederick, because I think in Christian community, there's a lot of shame when it comes to addiction, right? That's why I love having this program. I feel so privileged that we have this opportunity to talk openly, because there's so much stigma when it comes to addiction. And guess what? In many, many churches, there are many addicted people.
Yeah.
But it's covered up because of shame. And Jesus came to die for our sin and our shame.
Yes.
And therefore, it's important to be able to take off our masks and to talk in Christian circles about these things, not only about the problem, but how to recover from it and how to get restored from it, and that it is possible through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
That there is victory, Suki. We can have victory over our hurts, hang-ups and habits and addictions.
And of course, part of that is surrendering our will and our life to Him. The risk of making changes and stop denying that we have a problem, because that's often what causes us not to do that. Don't be comfortable in our pain. Accept responsibility and accept that you have a problem and go and look for help.
So, Suki, we're going to be talking to Trevor next week and the week after that, and we are just going to be exploring a little bit from his side. What does he experience as a Christ-centered recovery and restoration?
Also a pastor, right?
He's a pastor and a business owner.
So continue to come back, dear listeners, and tell your friends about it, especially friends that you know that struggle with these things that need to listen. Refer them to our podcast. And if you have any comments, please let us know at fredericksuki@capepulpit.co.za, or look us up at the podcast to get some of our previous programs at
www.capepulpit.co.za/ podcasts/IntoMeC, and get to listen and share it with a friend.
Till next time, God bless.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.